Senate Democrats have left the state. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Friday, February the 18th. We will talk about the ongoing turmoil at the state capitol regarding the budget repair bill. As you have heard in state news, Senate Democrats left the Capitol yesterday and went out of state to prevent a vote on that budget repair bill. Governor Walker held a news conference later in the day to tell the Democrats to come back home.
They get paid to come to work, and they should be coming to work. You can't have conversations if you're not at work. And they have every right to propose amendments, to have dialogue, to debate the bill, but they don't get to do any of those things unless they show up for work.
So should Democrats show up for work? Do you support or oppose what they did yesterday, leaving the state to stop a vote on that budget plan that restricts collective bargaining rights for public employees? We welcome your thoughts and questions on that. We also welcome your thoughts and questions on what's going on in general. What do you think about all of the teachers and other public employees who are protesting at the state capitol? More school closings today because of teachers at the state capitol and other public employees. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We will talk about the politics of all of this with our guest, Eric Giordano, an associate professor of political science and director of the Wisconsin Institute of Public Policy and Service at UW-Marathon County. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, what a week, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but we really haven't seen anything like this, and it's going to keep going, apparently.
Yeah, it sounds like the Democrats are going to stay away for at least one more day. Senator John Erpenbach is doing interviews from wherever, whatever undisclosed location he's at, and he's saying that they are doing this to force Republicans to negotiate a compromise, wanting especially to remove those restrictions to collective bargaining from the budget repair bill. Do you see that happening?
Well, it's unclear that the Republicans are going to be willing to compromise, but I think that in contrast to some of the things I heard from your last guest, I think this move really does allow some space for public dialogue. So it's unclear that in the end the Democrats in the Senate will be able to stop the Republicans from passing this, but by providing this opportunity for space, it does give the chance for the public to react and respond.
Mm-hmm. I should disclose again that as an employee of Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm an employee actually of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and I am affected by the budget repair bill and the changes being proposed by Governor Walker, as you are too, Professor Giordano.
That's correct.
Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting to me because as I've talked informally over the past several months with colleagues and through some formal discussions, at least in the UW system, I really don't know many people who weren't expecting some kind of cuts in their benefits or requirement to pay additional monies towards their health insurance and retirement. So I think the issue, you know, that we're facing here wasn't so much that cuts were made. It's partly how they were made, the extent to which they were made, and additional items that were never talked about prior to the introduction of this repair bill.
Yeah, why is this a collective bargaining piece of so important to all of those who are protesting at the state capitol?
Well, I think we're seeing really a fundamental clash of values underway. But I think that the reason why people are protesting and so upset is because this really undoes, you know, over 50 years of legislation and legislative history, and frankly, what has become to be expected as, you know, as a right for civil service employees, and whether or not, you know, that can be overturned, certainly it can be, but I think the drastic nature of the change without some sort of space for discussion. discussion and public dialogue is really, I think, what's put people over the edge.
And by not having that that space or time for public dialogue, meaning that this was proposed last Friday and the legislature was set to vote on it yesterday.
Correct.
Yeah, so less than a week's time. Now, the governor has also said, well, you know, I see all these people protesting at the state capitol. There have been tens of thousands of public union employees and their supporters at the state capitol. But he says their voices should be heard. I'm glad to hear their voices, but I also need to hear the voices of the 5.5 million taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin, indicating that that the general taxpayer in Wisconsin supports what he's doing. Do we know that?
Well, we know that there are many more people expressing discontent that mm-hmm. are expressing contentment, at least based on public demonstration. You know, we've seen a lot of changes in this country over the last several years. We've seen the introduction of the Tea Party, and we sort of marveled at the grassroots nature of that movement and the number of parties and demonstrations that were held across the state. But I don't think we've seen anything quite like this, especially in such a short period of time. So, you know, I think to make the claim that you're representing, you know, all 5.5 million residents of Wisconsin, you also have to acknowledge that, you know, a good number of them really are not supportive of this legislation. But, I mean, this is a fair political fight. There's no reason why the Republicans and Governor Walker can't take this viewpoint. I think the difficulty is the attempt to rush this through and to have provisions which were not campaigned on by the governor, and really to have absolutely no public discussion, or, as your last caller pointed out, discussion that was not really listened to by the Republican legislators, really sort of flies in the face of the rhetoric that we're hearing from the governor.
The Senate Democrats, have been. They said they were doing this to boycott or to prevent this vote from happening. As far as you know, in terms of political law, are they doing anything illegal here?
Well, I don't think so. I think mm-hmm. the law is kind of murky on this, just in the sense that, as your last guest pointed out, I mean, there is a provision to force them to come to work as long as they, you know, are within state boundaries. But, you know, here they are not. And unless we want to talk about, you know, interstate compacts and treaties, the forcing people to leave, which is very unlikely to occur, then, you know, they really are not violating any particular law. Now, the issue is, I think, is this likely to work? Is this likely to forestall in the end some kind of major shifts in public policy? The answer is probably no. I mean, history is a guide to that. The Texas legislator walkout did not succeed. There were some walkouts by legislators in Indiana and Georgia in April 2005, and none of those have really succeeded in the long run. But what they did do is call attention to differences of political opinion. So I think it's as legitimate an act as, you know, debate on the floor, although it is certainly unusual and admittedly extreme.
Mm-hmm. We have many callers and limited time with you, so let me go to Steve in Menominee first. Hello, Steve.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to the previous guest, but that's fine. I'll say my piece. Anybody who charges public radio with being biased has gotta get their act together. That guy that you just had before the one now could have been a Fox News guy.
Steve, I appreciate the thought. We invite guests from all different viewpoints on the program.
Basically, to say that the Democrats aren't doing their job by not showing up, excuse me, the only reason we're having a debate on this issue across the state is because of the protesters and because the Democrats are staying away. This business of trying to rush it through a week, you look at what happened in the federal government when the health care reform come through. Oh, my goodness, every tactic in the book was used by the Republicans to slow things up and whatever. And, well, guess what? The Wisconsin Senate does not have the same kind of procedures in place that the federal, the Senate of the United States has. And so, yeah, maybe this is an extreme move, but it's absolutely necessary to get the governor and the Republicans in the state Senate and legislature to wake up and realize you can't, this is an overreach. And I'll tell you what, the protesters down in Madison are not all Madison people. My next door neighbor up here was down there day before yesterday. They had kids from Menominee High School that were out for about an hour or so in front of the school, maybe up to between a quarter and a third of the kids were out walking the sidewalk in front of the school in support of the teachers. This is not limited to Madison folk, and that fellow that was on before just does not have his facts.
Thank you very much, Steve. No, it's not just Madison teachers. And in fact, I think I saw that Wausau schools are closed today, Professor Giordano.
Well, actually, I'm not sure. It's possible that
we'll look it up. Yeah, all right. Bill just told me that yes, they are. Yeah, yesterday, some 25 school districts around the state. They were mainly in South Central Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin. Wausau schools are closed today, and I believe the Milwaukee Public Schools are closed today as
sure.
Well. So it's certainly from, which brings up another issue, but first his comparison that this is just like Republicans in Congress filibustering.
Well, you know, clearly there are many tactics that are used by both sides of the aisle, you know, to get political gain. You know, this is part of our political process. It can be very ugly. It can be very messy. I think, you know, what we're seeing here, though, is a frustration. And it's not just a frustration about cut wages or salaries. I think it's a frustration born of the fact that, you know, there hasn't been room for public discussion. Your previous guest, I do appreciate what this current caller said, only in the sense that their previous guest was comparing this move to, you know, Obama's healthcare legislation. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, Obama's healthcare legislation is certainly something that is controversial, and many people are opposed to it. But I do recall that we had a very long, you know, time period for public input. Now, in the end, power politics and the Democrats' control of the House and the Senate allowed things to get rammed through pretty clearly. But, you know, there was some time for public debate, and clearly the Republicans, you know, have swept the House and the Assembly and the Senate here in the state, and that signals a shift in politics, and I think everyone has to recognize that there were some reasons for that shift. But I think that to not allow that time for public and constructive dialogue is what's missing here.
We are talking with Eric Giordano, an associate professor of political science and the director of the Wisconsin Institute of Public Policy and Service at UW-Marathon County, about the chaos at the state capitol. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's the headline in the Wisconsin State Journal. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be windy and cool with some scattered snow in northern Wisconsin, sunny in the south. Highs today, 25 to 45 degrees. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, it's the Week in Review. Two guests from different perspectives talking about all the top stories of the week. We will talk a lot more about what's happening in Madison at the state capitol, about public employees and the budget repair bill coming up after 8 o'clock. We have a Gina on Facebook writing, "I am angry with the Democrats' actions. They are an embarrassment. What are they telling our children? If you don't like something, it's okay not to do your job and you should walk away from it. If I did that at my job, I would be fired. What's going to happen to them? Probably nothing." So Gina thinks the Democrats are not doing their job. Professor Giordano, a reaction?
Well, I think really what this whole episode shows is the clear divisiveness, not only at the State House, but also, you know, in our state, and it's unfortunate. And I think what's more unfortunate is some of the rhetoric and the way in which actions and words are creating further divisiveness. So as an example, there's been a lot of talk about how public employees, you know, need to somehow pay their fair share. And I think it's unfortunate because I think that sort of language artificially pits public employees against some kind of immeasurable view that, you know, they haven't been paying their fair share versus private sector employees. And I think this, is a fundamentally flawed argument, because it ignores that there are major differences between the free market and the private sector, and the sort of compact that's often created between the government and public sector employees. For example, when the economy does well, private sector employees also benefit and do well. When the economy does well, sometimes public employees do well, but not always. And by taking away rights, bargaining rights, by taking away, salary, compensation, it's much more difficult for public employees to recapture that. It's just built into the system. It's not meant to be flexible in that way. And that's sort of why, there are differences, and why sometimes wages and benefits are different between the private and the public sector. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think it's unfortunate, because what your email or Facebook person there is basically saying is, I'm not happy with the Democrats. And, you see thousands of people at the Capitol saying, well, that's how I feel about Republicans. We need to find a way to constructively talk about these issues. I think that's my biggest disappointment here, that is not being proposed or implemented.
Mm. Debbie in Grant County. Hello, Debbie.
Hello there. I'm wondering about the fraud that's being committed by the teachers that are calling in sick, and if the unions told or encouraged the members, their union members, to call in sick and then go to Madison, and aren't they a conspiracy to commit fraud?
Is this, Professor Giordano, I guess general thoughts on teachers who are from all over the state who are showing up at the state capitol and causing some schools to close?
Well, that's a choice that teachers are making because they feel that their backs are against the wall. Whether or not it's ethically appropriate is a legitimate question, based on what they're promised to do as public sector employees. On the other hand, we might say the same thing about abrupt changes to over 50 years of established law and precedent that wasn't campaigned on. And so we need to sort of compare apples to apples and say, yes, it's an extreme measure brought about by, frankly, some major changes. Not just tightening of belt. I think everyone can accept tightening of a belt here and there. I mean, our economy is not doing well. But to thrust on some major changes in the history of collective bargaining, among other things, is really not appropriate without some kind of discussion.
Yeah, I suppose it depends, but teachers protesting and schools closing, is there a chance there would be a backlash in the court of public opinion over this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, one thing we can agree on is this really is about politics. So mm-hmm. just as the governor and the state house and the assembly and the Senate can introduce bills, and just as the Democrats can, effectively try to avoid them by moving out of state temporarily, and teachers taking days off, this is a political struggle, and people are taking risks. I think the governor's taking a risk. He calls it a bold gesture. I think the Democrats are taking a risk. I think teachers are taking a risk. There's a lot at stake here. People are willing to take those risks when they feel like the potential for loss is great or reward significant. And in this case, I think we're dealing more with the potential for loss to be great.
Dave in Caledonia. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Back in 1980, I believe, through Ronald Reagan, the Republicans said they're going to do away with the teachers. And I think this is a big step in that process of privatizing our school system across the nation. That's why people are getting involved with it. So therefore, if this will be, that's a new market that has not been exploited, just like the war in Iraq was the new market, not been exploited by the corporate America, manipulating the Republican Party through our federal government. And this is one step in the process of accomplishing that goal.
All right. What do you think, Professor Giordano?
I really can't agree with that. I really do believe we are seeing a fundamental clash of values. I mean, we know one thing about this whole issue, not only of belt tightening, which we know is going on all over the country, but this sort of type of clauses within this repair bill that are sort of removing collective bargaining rights. So this really is something that's in the Republican playbook for this election cycle, and many, many people are watching the results of this, and I think this is really going to be a national issue. But I think it's inappropriate, you know, to argue that this is somehow a bid to, you know, get rid of teachers. I really don't believe that. But we are seeing a fundamental clash of values, and the outcome of which are very high stakes.
Yeah. Do you have any, I don't know, thoughts on Governor Walker's budget address that he is going to be delivering next Tuesday? Some things are leaking out. What are you expecting, or what will you be listening for?
Well, I think it would be wonderful if we could listen for or hear some talk of being willing to listen, being willing to talk through issues. I suspect that is not what we're going to hear. We're probably going to hear some very bold speech, the need for everyone to buckle up and to get back to work. You know, unfortunately, I don't expect to hear much other than, you know, one side is right and the other's wrong.
Well, we hope to talk to you again about these issues. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
Eric Giordano, Associate Professor of Political Science and Director of the Wisconsin Institute of Public Policy and Service at UW-Marathon County. We are going to be talking more about the politics of the budget repair bill coming up in our Week in Review. We'll have the very latest as well in our state capitol report on Monday at this time, Monday between 7 and 8. The very latest information on where all this stands in the state capitol report. We're also going to be carrying the governor's budget address on Tuesday. I think it's scheduled to happen around 1:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday. We'll carry it live, and we'll talk more about that as well on Wednesday on the program. So we'll continue our coverage. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.